Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby B on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
B Show rolling along here on a Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7. The coach, Mark Lieberman, Nick Valvano, Kid Tulio on the ones and twos, Tanner Bertomesso, rolling right along here. Fabulous one. Phil Baker had to step out. He might rejoin the show a little later, hopefully. He's man about town, Phil Baker. I mean, he's got things to do, babies to kiss. Business to handle. That's our boy, Phil. A lot of texts coming in here. We'll clear out some of these texts before we hear Jeff Brom, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. I've always wondered why there isn't a big thing of hand sanitizer next to the board. That's a very good question, but we also are a studio that doesn't have cups half the time. So, yeah, there's certain things that we do very, very well here. Being on the air on Sunday for 4 hours, covering the Mark Pope press conference, giving you coverage that no other radio station around here is giving you, covering the Pat Kelsey hire, I mean, giving you extended coverage both on the air and on ESPN Louisville Plus, our streaming platform. Like, share, and subscribe over there. No, we do a lot of things incredibly well here. There's certain things that we lack, and sometimes
we're joined by the head football coach at Louisville.
I think a thing of sanitizer is definitely one of those things that we don't have. Unfortunately, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. This texter says, telling us the news that yes, Arizona transfer center Omar Ballo has canceled his scheduled visit to Louisville and we'll visit Arkansas instead. That is some of the breaking news of the day. We also touched on the fact Penny Boone is entering the transfer portal. And this texter said, get out of here with that. He just wants to play somewhere narrative. Don't slander the program on the way out. I heard there was something that didn't jive well. I haven't seen it, but I heard that there was some drama with some of the players entering the transfer portal. If you can pass that along. I didn't see it, but I heard something about that.
It's one of the things you're dealing with getting players that you just don't know that well. And no matter what,
right.
I mean, you're just... And sometimes, I'm not saying this is the case with Boone, but sometimes coaches, just with their hubris, whatever issues there might be, I can solve those. And again, I have no knowledge of what happened with Boone other than that, but yeah, you get players and it doesn't mesh, it's not a fit, with the style and what they, and you can sense that as a coach, you kind of have a pulse on what your teams
are. It's a round peg, sure, square hole type, mm-hmm, situation,
and those things happen.
Money's involved, everything gets a little bit murkier, but it is worth noting that it seems like those reports that this had something to do with payment issues with NIL, that didn't play into his decision to enter the transfer portal as much as depth chart position really did. That's what's coming out. So
sometimes we just never know the root of the decision is, and it just happens everywhere.
Well, it's one of those things, and this is where I know Pops, if he's listening to the show today in between his appointments, is definitely saying, this is why I say let the cake bake, because I mean, there's a lot of ongoing things. There's a lot of ups. There's a lot of downs, ebbs and flows with all these elements here, with coaching hires, with the transfer portal, with NIL, that he just keeps his sanity by waiting until all the dust settles and then reacting to who the final roster is, because he just doesn't have time or patience for having to deal with the constant, rotating door,
sure,
that seemingly is I mean, any college basketball or football roster right now. So totally understand. Let the cake bake. It's definitely one of those things that might help your sanity in this day and age of NIL and transfer portal. That the Brandon Marcello report, we touched on it last hour, about how five linemen, I think one offensive lineman, four defensive linemen for U of L were entering the transfer portal, only for that to be refuted almost in its entirety. And Brandon Marcello, to his credit, coming out and apologizing that he got some faulty information. But that definitely set Twitter ablaze this morning. A lot of other fan sites, 247 and On3, among them Florida State. I'm trying to think of some other fan sites that were really pouncing on that story, making it a bigger deal than seemingly it was. But, you know, that's one of those things. We touched on it. I mean, negative recruiting has always been an element in college, in the college process. But I mean, you've had to deal with that. I mean, anybody in the coaching field has. But how much different is it now with this transfer portal, with this NIL? How many different fronts are there when it comes to the negative recruiting aspect?
Yeah, I mean, look, as far as the negative recruiting, that's a constant no matter what. That's going to be part of it as we go through this. But yeah, you know, I haven't recruited in the, you know, it was when I left at Southeastern Louisiana, and of course our NIL was basically, you know, a week's worth of Wendy's, you know,
right.
Cheeseburgers and whatnot. But again, I speak to enough people in this business where I've just seen, you know, you're paying guys just to come on visits. This is what guys are asking for.
Right.
So like, no matter what, I think that's, you know, If you have a situation where your NIL can compensate or kind of just, it doesn't really matter what people are saying. If you have, okay, this is what we can do for you and so on, that's going to kind of negate some of the negative stuff that goes on no matter what. But look,
so money is a double-edged sword. It can help you, but it can also be the thing that puts
But like as a coach, like losing like the Bello kid from Arizona, like Arizona, yeah, right. Like, you know, you figure Tommy Lloyd, I was not expecting that guy to leave. And every program, Virginia Tech in basketball, lost like their entire starting five
right
to the portal. So the reflection on Coach Young, you know, Mike Young there, I don't think so. It's just this is the
day and age of what we're having to deal with.
Yeah, and look, I've dealt with it at other levels too. This is before even when I was a high school coach, you know, figure a kid, it's a great fit and, you know, they want to go elsewhere. It's just, it's part of this. It's just, but he was influenced by other people and that's just what goes on right now.
Right.
It's just, it's an art, not a science. And this is just, it's a new world. It's wild because all the things that we talk about with coaching, it's like, yeah, okay. It just takes me back. I hark back to the Penny Hardaway scene in Blue Chips, you know, coach, if I leave, is my mom still getting the house?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, it's amazing because that's what it's become now. And I always talk about, like, Happy, the villain in that movie, is now the hero.
Yeah, seriously.
Of the story.
You ain't,
you know,
kidding.
He's the hero. And, you know, Nick Nolte's character will go up there and say, thank God for this guy.
Right.
That he's, you know, able to finance all these things. You know, it's just, it's a crazy way of dealing with recruiting.
I do think it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's certain stats that in every sport that I think are overrated, plus minus in hockey, for instance. But I do think it'll be interesting, and I don't know if this stat will do anything besides ease fans, but as we go along on this journey of NIL and transfer portal, I think it'll be interesting to find out who are the retainers, what coaches are able to re-recruit their teams, are able to hold on to guys. And of course, that's going to have to translate to on-field, on-court results for sure for that to really have any merit. But I do think it'll be interesting to see what programs have an NIL aspect or have a coaching aspect that is able to, because I mean, it's impossible now to have 100% retention with the transfer portal and NIL, but to see what programs are able to hold on to 85% of their roster, maybe, or I don't know, even 65% of their roster, something along those lines. I think that's going to be interesting to see who emerges as the retainers in the upcoming years, because we're still in, I don't want to say the infancy, but the toddler, where, you know, the drunken sailor era of NIL and transfer portal. They're just starting to get their wheels under them. You know, we'll see. And there could be some regulations coming along, you know, down the pike. We'll see. I know you can't see right now.
No, you talk about, because you go back to, you just talked about re-recruiting your team, and you always have to have a pulse on what's going on. But, you know, before it was, you know, until signing day, we've got to make sure our, you know, the guys that we recruited, the high school players, that we're staying on top of them, that we still show them love and so on. And, you know, now it's like, yeah, is your NIL deal good enough for you? It's like, you know, just keeping that and, you know, just the effect of how it's now morphed into just the grad transfers, the portal kids, and, you know, high school is almost pushed to the bottom of some
right,
of the stuff.
Right.
And it's just it's a trickle down effect too. So it's just, you know, the high school kids aren't getting recruited as much, and now you got to figure out which guys on your team, you know, are happy all of a sudden. You know, at the low and mid majors, basically it's become a farm system for the bigger schools.
Yeah,
it really has.
I mean, it really has. You're absolutely right. He's the coach, Mark Lieber, and Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today. A couple more texts before we get to Coach Jeff Brohm's interview with Jim Rome yesterday. This texter says, talk movies, damn it. Don't worry, we will. This says, gotta hope Ballo gets that Tyson bag to play for Cal. It'll screw IU over and hurt Arkansas's chances of getting Quaintance. Yeah, I mean, that if you're looking at the macro, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Let's see here. People making prop bets will seek out the players that cause them to lose their bets, and they will bully them on social media. There's always going to be a lunatic fringe. That's something. I mean, things are changing now, you know, with sports betting and everything like that. Ballo going to go to Arkansas and get paid, this texter says. Yeah, you got to think he is. If he were to pick that, I don't know if he had any ties with Cal beforehand. But you got to think that, as Lieb said, relationships still matter. But Arkansas seemingly has an NIL bag. So
him and Big Z would be terrifying for the SEC.
Oh, though. No, 100%. That would be a great front court for sure. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Enunciate, Nick. Jag officer, not Jack officer. I didn't realize. I don't think I said. You know what?
He enunciated.
He's my dear friend. He is a Jagoff. I know that. He is genuinely. He is 100% is a Jagoff, and I say that in the nicest possible way. One of the finest people I met, Tyler Gattemeyer. Nick's gotta stay off pudding. This guy says. No, absolutely. I probably need to cut down my pudding intake.
There's a very funny Two Ferns, Between Two Ferns.
Yes.
Zach
yeah.
Galifianakis.
Right, right.
And he has Jennifer Lawrence on there. And she goes...
My future ex-wife.
And he says, that's a very off-putting comment. You know how that show goes.
Yeah,
and she
right.
goes, you need to stay off-putting. You know? And it's just... if you can find that clip, it's just
get
tremendous.
Because you're fat? And he's like, no, yeah, that's, no, I got it.
Yes, yes, exactly. Oh, she's great.
This texter says, I had contact lenses that you wear 24/7 for 30 days. I decided to extend them to 60 days. The optometrist warned me against this, but I did it anyway. I ended up with bumps under my eyelids and needed special drops to clear up. Couldn't wear contacts for 2 years, and the bumps are in the herpes family. Oh, God, that's terrifying. Okay, I probably need to change these contacts out.
There's a lot of things in that family.
In the herpes family?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it all seems to
shingles.
Be.
I just learned was you know
it's part of the herpes family.
Yeah,
what a crazy family. this texter passing along the Richard Pitino tweet. Only 15 more days until I can be mean to my players again. Very funny. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. If you want to be part of the show, this texter says blue balls. What was that in reference to?
The three things that maybe you can...
Oh, the pains. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, that one stinks.
How's that poll going, by the way?
Yeah, let's take a look-see. 437-9680. Let's take a peek at the poll. It's a Twitter poll Tuesday here on the V-Show. Which pain is worse, eye pain, tooth pain, or groin pain? Overwhelming majority going to tooth pain. 78% of
doesn't
the
surprise me.
8% of the vote going to eye pain, 14% going to groin pain. So... tooth pain, running away with it. Now, I've heard root canals are terrible, cavities are terrible. I've had, I don't want to jinx it, knocking wood, I've had my teeth whitened before,
mm-hmm.
and they are uber sensitive afterwards. Like, they gave me Valium to, like, deal with the pain. And it was, yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. So I can understand that. But I haven't had a cavity, knock wood. Haven't had a root canal, knock wood. So I can't really compare. But I have had conjunctivitis, pink eye. And I've had a scratched cornea before, and both of them were among the most uncomfortable, painful things I've had to deal with. And also wearing contacts and occasionally having to deal with fishing your contact out of your eye. The pain that goes with that. Or if you put your contacts in backwards, it feels like there's a hot needle going through your eye. I still vote eye pain. I am in the minority here. And I've taken nut shots too, but you know, that pain goes away eventually.
There are like certain kind of like contact solution that like my dad uses where I don't know what chemical it was, but it, like, you have to have it in that certain case.
Oh, I know
and you
exactly.
You have to have it for 8 hours or
the
something.
Iodine. And it's iodine. Yes. Yes.
I just drove home back from Connecticut, so I got like kind of in late. So I took out my contacts and I was like, do you have any solution? I kind of forgot them back in Louisville. He gave me it. I woke up the next morning and I was going to play a round of golf with my brothers. Put it in my eye.
Oh, it's miserable.
And dropped to my knees, like punching the ground. Like, I need this out of my eye and I don't know where it is. I don't even want to touch my eye like now. Yeah. It was the most painful thing.
Yeah,
because
if you don't wait the full 8 hours,
you're
like
screwed.
I know the exact thing that you're talking about. It really does a great job cleaning your contacts, but holy smokes. If you don't give it the proper amount of time, it is not comfortable. All right. Talking about pain, no sports talk. We talked about sports talk. Oh, man. Gotta love it. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Let's take a peek at the polls. Market for the mixtape. Yes, absolutely. Can I
vote? I was thinking that myself.
Can I vote Kenny Payne is the worst pain? That's mean. Funny, but mean. All right. We'll take a... we don't need to take a break. We'll play Jeff Brom's interview with Jim Rome yesterday. If you missed it, it sounded a little something like this.
We are joined by the head football coach at Louisville. I say new because last year, in his first season, the Cardinals went 10-4. They were 7-1 in ACC play. They went to the ACC championship game. They played in the Holiday Bowl. They were ranked number 19 in the final AP poll. He spent the previous six seasons at Purdue. He won the Big Ten West Divisional title in 2022. He did play 7 years in the NFL. The Cardinals are going to open up their season at home against Austin Peay on August 31st. We are joined by Jeff Brom. Jeff, it's always good to have you on the show. How are you feeling, Jeff?
Thank you, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right, Jeff, so for hardcore college football fans, I think we know this. There are really only two seasons, football season in the fall and spring football. So how good has it felt to be back at work with your team during the last 5 weeks, which concludes Friday with your spring game?
Well, that's all gone good. I think spring practice is used to develop your young players and make sure they're ready to go and get your backups ready to hopefully become starters. And nowadays with the transfer portal, you got to make sure that all your new additions are getting plenty of reps and getting up to speed on what's going on. So we've tried to utilize that as best we can. You got to try to prevent injuries as well along the way and hope that you don't lose guys for the season. But it's been a very productive spring. Our guys have worked hard. There are a lot of new faces for us. They've definitely displayed athleticism and talent and can really help us. We just got to make sure we get them up to speed where they can just continue to learn throughout spring, and then we follow that up by the summer and the fall camp as well.
And, you know, Jeff, I hate to make it about the portal always, but you mentioned that, and I want to say in recent months I've spoken with college coaches ranging from Tom Izzo to Trent Dilfer and more, and that topic of radical changes to college sports always seems to come up. Since you've been a Division I coach now for a decade, how have you tried to navigate the current landscape?
Well, what we try to do is just adjust to the rules that are being made, and I don't agree with all of them. I'm sure a lot of people don't as well, but the way this is set up is, these individuals have the right to transfer freely, and to a certain degree, I definitely agree with that and want to help them achieve their goals, but it does cause a lot of roster turnover. It causes a lot of change on your team, and you just kind of have to play with it and make sure that you're getting the best players to help your team win and develop. You're making sure that you have a backup plan in case people want to leave at certain times. You're making sure that you're following the college football world and landscape and listening to calls that come in on potential targets. And it's just a very busy time, and you kind of just make sure you can't not play along with it. You got to make sure that you're doing your part to improve your team and roster. So we've been pretty active in it, and we will continue to be that way. And Maybe one day it'll slow down, but right now it's very hectic.
Yeah, right now it is what it is. Louisville head football coach Jeff Brohm is joining us. Now, Jeff, you, of course, are renowned for your work with quarterbacks. Jack Plummer had a nice season in his final college season with you. How is the quarterback depth chart coming together now, led by Tyler Shuck, who started his career at Oregon and spent the last 3 years at Texas Tech?
Well, it's a very important position, and that position needs to play well, and we need to do our part to help that position play well. But Tyler's come in. What we like about him, he's got great experience. He's played a lot of football. He's been through ups and downs, so he knows how to handle adversity and things when they don't go exactly your way. I think sometimes when you get a player with 1 year left, they come in with a mission and goals set up, and they really want to achieve them. So I think to this point, he's been outstanding. He's been very intelligent. He picks up things quickly. He works really hard. He's been a really good leader. I think he can throw the football. He can see the field. He's got pro size for his build and frame, and we want to surround him with the best talent. But we think he can help us win at a high level, and he just got to continue on this path and continue to learn. But to this point, he's done a great job.
Hey, Jeff, to your point that he's played a lot of football, I mean, for those who don't know it, he's an amazing story. Like, he's 24. He'll be playing his seventh season of college football. He got married 9 days ago. He postponed his honeymoon so he could finish your spring practices. Safe to say, this dude really loves ball. Am I right?
Well, you hit it on the nose, and without question, he's very mature, which is a huge plus for him, and we're happy for him. We actually moved spring schedule around a little bit so he could get married this past weekend without missing practice, and I know that went well, and he was right back at it, and right back here on practice this past Monday today. So, he's just been a great addition. He is unique because of the experience factor and the age factor, but, sometimes that really helps, and it helps the maturity of your team and helps the leadership that he brings. And I think he's going to play great. He's just had a few injuries along the way that have kind of been unfortunate. But at this point, he's healed up and he's ready to go, and we want to help him have a tremendous year.
Jeff Brohm joining us. Jeff, I had a great conversation with Louisville's new head basketball coach, Pat Kelsey, last week. His energy and his passion were off the charts, man. He was shot out of a cannon. Have you had a chance to spend much quality time with Pat yet? And as a Louisville native and alumnus, do you think that he is the one to bring the basketball team back to national prominence?
Well, believe it or not, I have spent a lot of time around him. He's been very active in recruiting and trying to improve his roster to this point. He's utilized what we've brought to the table football-wise, recruiting, and he's asked a lot of questions, and he's brought his recruits over here to see us, to not only see our facilities, but to come to practice. So we've worked hand-in-hand with him. I think without question he is going to provide a great spark and an energy level of someone that really wants to compete at the highest level and prove himself on the big stage. And without question, this is a big stage. Our arena at the Yum Center is second to none. It's great basketball tradition. I know I'm a sports fan just like you and everyone else, and I want to see that basketball team play well. And without question, the fans here are really starving for some great basketball, and I know he's going to work hard to get that done.
No, he saw it. In fact, right before he came on, I was talking about Kentucky and the fact that they had 22,000 people in Rupp Arena for the announcement of Mark Pope coming in. I mean, that is a state that loves its ball, without question. Jeff, before you go, we talked about some of the changing things in the landscape. What about the conference itself? Like, the ACC is going to expand next season, add three new schools. For instance, you're going to host SMU on October 5th. Then you're going to head to Stanford in November, which is going to join the conference along with UC Berkeley. So what does adding a footprint in both Texas and California mean for the conference?
Well, I think, you've got to adapt and adjust, and a lot of conferences are trying to position themselves. So, for us to add three valuable opponents like those schools you mentioned that have a lot of history and tradition that have played football at a high level and other sports, I think it'll be great. There's going to probably be continual change as we progress through the years. But, this is good football and good basketball in the ACC, and it's very competitive. And top to bottom, it's very good. So without question, we feel like in this conference, if you win this conference and you play well and you get a chance to go to the playoff, without question, you'll have a chance to win it all. And I think as you see the playoff probably come about this next year, which I know provides a ton of excitement for every sports fan, even myself. I think I'm excited, whether it's us or anybody, to see some new teams in the mix that have a chance to compete and have an opportunity to play for a championship in the end. Is going to provide a tremendous amount of excitement and interest, and it's going to be something that we all strive now because we know we have a chance to get to that 12-team playoff.
Right, no doubt. So one last thought. I know you've turned the page on last season, but there were such high expectations with your decision to return to your alma mater, and you lived up to all of them. You led the team to 10 wins, the first trip to the ACC championship game. As you look back on last year, what were you most pleased with, and then where are you looking to improve?
Well, I was really pleased that our guys played hard, and they competed hard, and fortunately for us, we were able to win some close games early on that kind of skyrocketed us to an opportunity to compete for the ACC championship game. So that was great to get to, and I think we fought hard to make that. Unfortunately, didn't finish the way we wanted, so there's a great learning curve there for us. But we know what it takes. We know the talent that is in this league and what it's going to take to win. And, you know, you just try to continue to improve your team and make sure you're ready for all the things that come up, all the changes that you have to make and adjustments you have to make along the way. But you got to get your guys to play hard. You got to get them to want to compete and play at the highest level, but also believe that they can beat anybody. So that's what we're going to try to do this year. We've got to, you know, go on the road to Clemson. We've got to go on the road to Notre Dame. We've got to go on the road to Stanford. We've got to go on the road to Kentucky. So we'll have our hands full, but every week's going to be a challenge, and that's why you play the game.
That's it. And so far, so good. That was a great first year. 10-4 overall, 7-1 in conference play. And again, they advance to the ACC championship game. Jeff Braum, my guest. Jeff, always good to have you on the show. Thanks for making time for this program. As always, good to talk to you, and I know we'll do it again during the season.
Thank you, Jim. Keep up the great work.
You too. Jeff, keep it up. Coach, appreciate you. Louisville football. They're in the right.
There you go. That was Jeff Braum yesterday on the Jim Rome Show. If you missed that, we wanted to give you a chance to listen to that. Good stuff. I had no idea that Tyler Shuck got married and postponed his honeymoon to go to spring ball. That was kind of cool. And it's interesting also. I forgot that it's his seventh year of eligibility. I know he's dealt wild with some injuries, but I mean, who is the guy that won the Heisman at like 28? What was his
Florida
name?
Florida State, right?
Yeah, who was
Chris
it?
Chris Winkie?
Yeah, he was the oldest Heisman
That's
winner.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's this day and age.
And then I think he went to the Panthers and not that good.
Yeah, he's a solid golfer, though. He played at the Wolf Challenge once. I mean, we're talking about transfer portals and everything like that. I'm wondering.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm wondering how often you're going to see guys that are, you know, transferring in to play in their fifth year as, you know, as a quarterback. Because there's going to be a lot of fifth-year starters as opposed to
Now with the
freshman
COVID year is finished, it's probably just going to be that fifth-year grad year.
But still, mm-hmm. With the transfer portal, I'm wondering how often these Power 5, Power 6 teams are going to be taking the, you know, they're just going to be getting an experienced quarterback to come in as a plug-and-play one-year type guy. And I'm interested to see what quarterbacks, that'd be an interesting stat, the average age of a quarterback per conference. I'd like to see how many of them are utilizing transfer portal guys. And how many of them are using younger underclassmen that they might be developing?
Let's get an intern to look at the data.
Yeah, there you go. Intern cowboy.
Got to hear Coach Braum just the other night, evening at FCA.
Oh, nice. Nice. How was that?
Yeah, that was just a great event. Fantastic. And Chris Morgan and everybody from FCA Louisville just did a tremendous job. It was just a great evening, for sure. And Coach Braum spoke for about 15, 20 minutes as well.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Continuing to hit his layups and get out in the community and do things. So good stuff.
Dan McDonald spoke as well. And yeah,
another guy hits his layups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Josh Hurd spoke.
Another guy that's been hitting his layups. Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So good stuff out of those guys. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. We'll come back. We have some breaking news involving Luke Skywalker that's very off-putting. which one? The one about... Oh, you do? Okay. Play that if you don't mind, Tanner, and we'll get to break.
So you played in a movie called The Hunger Games.
Isn't that your life story?
You shouldn't say that. That's off-putting.
You should be off-putting. Because you're fat. You shouldn't eat any more pudding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good work out of Jennifer Lawrence. Has the same birthday as me. She's a year younger.
That's something. I'm going to stay.
I'm just saying, that is, you know, I've got the hall pass. Like, that is the go-to.
She was in a movie
icebreaker
where I don't know if it was her. I don't think they used a body double, but like the recent movie she put out.
Phrasing.
What's that?
You said phrasing?
I know, right? And yeah, there's a full frontal in that movie.
And
whatever her latest movie was, Tanner, figure that out. Okay.
Tanner's giving me thumbs up. I don't know.
You saw that movie, Tanner?
Have you seen that movie? Or are you looking it up? Tanner's going to be watching it later, for sure.
It's actually a very entertaining movie.
Nice.
Is it No Hard Feelings?
No Hard Feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. There'll be some hard feelings if I watch the movie. How you doing?
Stop it.
We'll take a bottom of the hour break. Neil Knuckles Greenberg of the Washington Post will join us. It's the V Show. It's Coach Mark Lieberman, Nick Falvano, Tanner Bertomesso on the ones and twos. It's ESPN 680 1057.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Nice work out of Tanner there. A little Star Wars rejoin as our man Owen walks by again. Always good seeing him.
Nice job, Tanner.
Nice job. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. My brother texts in, Jennifer Lawrence was naked in Red Sparrow, too. Just saying.
Okay.
So...
Nothing like this movie.
And
though,
a texter,
Jamie,
just said the same thing. She was in Red Sparrow also. She's a gorgeous woman. Yes, she is. That's why, well, I don't know when we turned into Mr. Skin, but evidently we are. That's what we do here on the
Well,
show.
The and you teased Luke Skywalker, and we were just flabbergasted to find out that, well, not find out. It's not like a breaking story, but he was going to join the Imperial Academy.
Okay, yeah. What
That's
is the
academy
story
he's talking about?
What is the story with this? Like, where did you see this? Can we play it?
I just. By the way, a couple things. Yeah. I pulled up Instagram just to pull up Instagram, and of course, there's two ferns. You know, between two ferns, like all kinds of things on my Instagram.
Yeah,
like
it's a listing.
It's amazing.
Terrifying. It's terrifying.
It's so terrifying.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the reels was just about how Luke Skywalker was going to join the academy. He wanted to go off to the academy and leave the farm, you know, with Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. He was going to join the Imperial Academy.
He could have been a stormtrooper
or like a pilot, like with Darth Vader.
I always thought there was an academy for like
the
Rebel
Alliance.
They can't
be for the Rebels. They were the Rebels. They were hidden.
Yeah, but I mean, surely they have.
No, you can't go to an academy and announce that because they'll come get you. No, that was the good guys who were hidden.
He was going to go just because he wanted to go to the academy.
TIE fighter pilot.
He was bored. He wanted to be a TIE. That's disappointing.
Yeah,
Luke.
Anyway.
I'm not a huge fan of that.
I doubt Knuckles is either. I don't know if he would be on the Empire side. You know I would be. I like the Darth Vader and all that kind of stuff.
I like the Rebels helmet. I do like the Rebels helmet. I got one on my desk. Big fan of the Sith
and all that kind of
stuff.
All right,
well, Neil Knuckles Greenberg, at N. Greenberg on Twitter. He joins us now from the Washington Post as part of our weekly visit. Neil, are you a Rebel Alliance or Empire guy?
You mean like which one would I join?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to join the Rebels, right? Because all you are in the Empire is really just a cog, unless you're either a Sith or rise up the ranks. But even then, you could just get, you know, force choked in the hallways of a big Imperial cruiser.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the whole force choking thing. You know, I'm not one to kink shame by any stretch, but yeah, no, that's not really for me. So yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I think I would really like to be a bar owner on Mos Eisley. That'd be me. Like, you know, maybe give some smuggler information here and there. I'd help the rebels if they needed it, but for the most part, I just want to be serving blue milk, listening to the doot 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 doot, you know, band.
Yeah, but
that'd be my jam.
As Ben Kenobi said, that was the most treacherous, like, scum of villainy, like, in that area. So, anyway.
Yeah, you need better than Roadhouse to keep that whole thing in line.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd speak softly and carry a big lightsaber. That'd be my go-to, and probably cut my own arm off. That's how I would solve conflicts. I would just mortally hurt myself with my own lightsaber and get everybody to calm down. Speaking of mortally hurting themselves, it's a great segue, right? Talking a little NBA, NHL playoffs with our man Neil Knuckles Greenberg, at N. Greenberg on Twitter. Giannis, tweaking his calf, Going to miss the start of the Bucks playoff series against the Pacers. Hoping to rejoin it around, I think I saw like game three or four. How big of an impact is that going to have on the Bucks? Are they in trouble without the Greek Freak?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. That's a player you can't replace, right? I mean, that's certainly a situation where you need, look, it's game one. You need all your best players. These short series are a lot different than regular season games. So, I think it makes a big difference. I know the odds obviously have moved quite a bit. And again, I think the biggest thing is you can't, there's no replacement for Giannis, right? It's not even like a Moneyball situation where you can recreate him in the aggregate. He's just one of the best players in the game, and I think it's a huge blow to the Bucks' chances.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg joining us from the Washington Post. Staying with the Bucks for a second, I mean, there's chatter that Damian Lillard is not happy there. Are we going to see him? Is he gone after this year? Is this a must-win, now for the Bucks type season?
I feel like I've been hearing that Lillard hasn't been happy, like, in a while. Possibly. I mean, I think it all also depends on how it goes. I mean, we've certainly seen the playoffs cause a rise in players' stock over the years. Not to say that, Damian Lillard is an unknown quantity at this point, but I do think that you need to, you always need to perform well in the playoffs, or at least not perform poorly. I think, if you're in the playoffs and perform poorly, that's going to be an issue. But, that's never been a problem with Lillard. I mean, the last time he was in the playoffs, he averaged over 34 points a game, 10 assists per game. I mean, being able to average a double-double like that as a point guard, I think, is always going to be valuable in the NBA. I don't think he could be hurt necessarily that much, unless it just completely comes undone. But, having the Giannis injury as a little bit of cover probably helps him in a way, too.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg of the Washington Post joins us. Let's put a bow on that playoff series. Is there any gambling picks or bets that really jump out at you between, the most local team, the Pacers, and the Bucks?
Well, I mean, the Pacers certainly are getting an edge here because of the high profile, the high profile injury. At least missing the first couple of games, it's a little bit of a coin flip, I would say, at this point. Despite the Bucks having, some home field advantage, I think, we probably missed the boat at this point because the injury has already been announced. But you probably, I think there's probably more in-game type wagers to be made, only because a lot of the models that are built for, to kind of price these things are going to have Giannis as a big part of the equation. And since he won't be, you'll probably be able to find some edges there. As far as the series concerned, I think with the Giannis injury, the only play I can probably comfortably make would be on the Pacers in general to win the series.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg at N Greenberg on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. Talking about another team near and dear to the V Show's hearts, the New York Knicks. I saw this topic on First Take this week. Jalen Brunson leading an injury ravaged Knicks team to the playoffs. He's the league's fourth leading scorer. I just want to pick your brain on this. How many players in the East do you think are better than him?
Better than Brunson?
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot. Maybe Giannis and Jason Tatum.
I mean, those are going to be my picks.
Maybe. I mean, Giannis clearly better, I would say. But, he's easily a top 10 player this year in the NBA. And, like you said, there's not going to be too many in the East that are going to be better than him. With Giannis' injury, that probably just leaves Boston and Jason Tatum. And, Boston's been really good all season. But like you said, Brunson's kind of had to keep things together with some duct tape and glue. So yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe two. I who would be the third? That would be the thing. Like, who in the East would you put above him at this point?
We can expand it league wide. Where does he rank?
Oh, easily top 10, I would say. Easily. I don't think you could, and you know, probably the lower top 10, but
right.
You know, definitely
maybe
top
like
10.
Eight or nine, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, you have, you know, Jokic and Luka Doncic and Giannis and, you know, maybe SGA this year.
Anthony Edwards.
You know, Sabonis has certainly played really well this year. You know, how high do you have the rookie Victor Wembanyama? You know, legacy players like LeBron and Steph Curry. I mean, you know, but I think that you can make a solid case for him to be, you know, 10th. And if we're going to quibble about, you know, where he is in the East, you know, maybe Donovan Mitchell with Cleveland, maybe.
Right.
You know, can go ahead of him. You know, maybe, like you said, Halliburton gets put ahead of him. But for me, no. But I can certainly at least entertain a case there. But still, I don't think there's 10 players that are better than him playing right now.
I'd agree with that sentiment. Well, one team that there's nobody better than is the Boston Celtics in the East. I mean, we might as well start picking your brain a little bit. I mean, you are our gambling consigliere here on the V Show. If I give you the Celtics or the field, who are you taking?
Always the field.
Always the field?
Yeah, always the field.
Always.
I mean, yeah, because, you know, if you think that the Celtics are the best team in the league, which I mean, obviously, I probably agree with to a large extent, you know, what chances do you give them to win? You know, it's certainly not 50%, right? I mean, it's probably, what, 20-30%? And
I was going to say about
know, like
that.
Like we talked about the Knicks, you know, maybe Milwaukee's a little bit there, but then you have to deal with everybody in the West, in Oklahoma, Denver, Minnesota, the Clippers, you know, Dallas. I mean, there's, you know, you go down that list, and the West is pretty stacked as well. I probably always take the field unless we're talking about college sports with a team like, you know, University of South Carolina with the women. I just think that there's too much parity in the NBA, 7-game series. Maybe the first round is really chalky, but then, you know, you never know when you're going to see an injury or something else weird happen and, you know, have an upset or two.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg, at N Greenberg on Twitter, joining us now, talking some NBA and NHL playoffs. Putting a bow on the NBA playoffs, at least. Is there a team that really stands out in the West that you think can emerge?
Oh, in the West, no. But the East, I really like the Indiana Pacers. I think
really?
That they
okay.
played really great down the stretch for sure. I think they're a lot stronger than their sixth seed makes them out to be. Again, I think it's a great setup for them being able to play against the Bucks without Giannis. I kind of feel like they can win that outright with Giannis, you know, without him, I really do like their chances. I would say if I'm looking for any surprise team, it's probably going to be Indiana Pacers in the East. The West is pretty formulaic. I mean, you know, I wouldn't necessarily move any team up or down more than a spot or two, but the Pacers are really intriguing to me as a playoff team. I like them quite a bit.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg joining us. Moving to hockey before we get some best bets. Actually, before we do hockey, I meant to ask you how did your Masters bets play out?
not good, because again, if you would have given me Scottie Scheffler versus the field, probably would have taken the field. A lot of weirdness, though, right? I mean, you have these gimme putts that turn into, you know, stuff I see my 5-year-old do at putt-putt.
right.
You know, I mean, like that's the type of stuff that's tough to game plan for. But yeah, I mean, another thrilling Masters, and you know, Scottie's the closest thing to Tiger that we have since Tiger. I mean, he's playing great golf. So you know, it was good. It was good for me. I mean, I do a lot of matchup stuff. But yeah, I did not have the winner of the Masters, and it would have been a short price anyway, relatively.
Yeah, I won my my Masters pool because I had the
great.
Yeah, I had the top three finishers. I had Morikawa, Åberg, and Scheffler.
So nicely done, Nick.
Yeah, thank you. That was tasty. Nice little $500 payday on a Monday. Always appreciate that. So that was fun. Tiger. Any thoughts on his career worst and last place finish in the Masters? Sadly, are we at that point now where one more major is just completely out of reach for him? Do you think he bounces back in the PGA?
I don't. I mean, I personally don't. I think it's, you know, it's just due to injuries, right? I mean, it's
right.
Not that, you know, it's not anything else. It's just his body can't do what his mind wants him to do. And, you know, he's always going to be a draw because of what he did a number of years ago. You know, the betting markets are going to have to couch his odds because they know they're going to get money on it, and you can't truly count Tiger out. But, yeah, unfortunately, I think that, you know, that ship has sailed. And, you know, again, it's just because his body's betraying him. It's not because he's, you know, not a good golfer or you know, anything of the sort. It's just, you know, you can be as technically sound as anybody in the world, but if your body won't do what you need it to do, it just becomes impossible to win.
Couple of hockey questions before we get you out of here. Well, first off, as we get closer to it, I'll definitely pick your brain, but just putting a bow on golf, any future PGA bets that you're liking?
Not yet. I'll start to look into that a little bit more once I get some data done, but not yet, but soon.
Okay, soon. All right. Well, we'll definitely pick your brain as we get closer to that because it is in our backyard here in Louisville at Valhalla. So exciting days here in the 502 for that one. All right, switching to hockey, just right off the jump. Past 8 years, the President's Trophy winner has not advanced past the second round. You know where I'm going with this. My New York Rangers clinch it last night with a victory. They're facing your Washington Capitals in the first round. Does the President's Trophy curse hold true this year?
Well, Washington has to win first.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, currently they're playing the Caps. That's true.
So Washington has a huge game against Philadelphia. Any win by Washington, and they're in. It needs to be a regulation win by Philadelphia in order for them to get it. And I think the President's Trophy, I don't want to call it a curse, but I think a lot of it is because of the way the standings are done, you know, getting the point for the overtime loss. So I really do believe, like, the President's Trophy winner isn't necessarily the best team because it does get inflated a little bit. I mean, you know, give the New York Rangers credit. They only have, what, 4 overtime losses as opposed to, like, Boston's 15.
Yeah, right.
So that's certainly, a huge difference. But I don't think it's a curse so much as hockey is so fluky. I mean, there's been numerous studies done over the years that have kind of pinned the luck to skill component of scoring a goal at like 70% luck. And a lot of people quibble with that, but, you know, you think back to all those goals that deflect off someone's head, someone's stick, someone's foot, someone's elbow, you know, all those other things, and it becomes pretty clear, like, you know, how if it was skillful, there'd be a lot more goals, more consistently, Alex Ovechkin aside, obviously. I'm not surprised. I do like the Rangers' chances, but it's something that's got to be, you know, in the back of everybody's mind. At the risk of alienating my neighborhood, I do think Carolina is probably the best team in the Metro.
I agree with that.
So we'll, we'll certainly see that, you know, if I'm right on the ice. But I do like Carolina. Some of that is a bias because the assistant GM, you know, rose up the ranks of the blogosphere. He's a chemist by trade, I believe, out of Harvard. But I do think Carolina is probably the best team in the Metro right now.
Neil Knuckles-Greenberg of the Washington Post joining us. Neil, is there a wild card team? The other local, I guess one of the more local hockey teams, the Nashville Predators, wild card team currently in the West. And we mentioned the Capitals is a wild card team in the East currently. Are there any of them that jump out at you as maybe being a dark horse? I mean, the NHL playoffs are loaded with parity. That's one of the things that make them so entertaining in the first round. Do you see anybody? Is there anybody that you're throwing a shekel or two on to maybe get a first round upset?
Yeah, I mean, are we talking about Toronto as kind of like a fringe?
Yeah, you could throw them in there. I think that's fair.
They're out of the top, they're out of the top two. I like the Kings. I think the Kings could be surprising. I do prefer them over the Golden Knights, even though the Golden Knights are the three. Los Angeles right now is, I believe, the four. I like Colorado. You know, I mean, they've certainly, you know, shown that they can get things done. I think the Metro will be relatively true to form with the top two teams kind of doing what they need to do. I think the Pacific could be where we start to see some weirdness, because I think like that group is more bunched up than some of the other divisions. So maybe a team from there, and also the Central with, like, you know, Colorado, Nashville, like you said. I don't think there's a big drop off between, like, let's say them and Dallas and Winnipeg. So, I think Metro, chalky. Probably see Central and Pacific, you know, the teams that come out of there a little bit more dangerous.
You mentioned the Pacific, Vancouver, Edmonton, yeah, neck and neck there. We talked a little bit about Toronto. Winnipeg is second in the Central. You know where I'm going with this. Is this a year that we see a Canadian team, maybe finally win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, you have, like, when you adjust their margin of victory for strength of schedule, you have Edmonton as one of the best teams, obviously Vancouver, Toronto, kind of is on par with the Boston Bruins. Winnipeg is certainly up there as well. I think there's a good chance there. The question really becomes, you know, as always, like, how good are the U.S.-based teams really, right? It's like, if Carolina is as good as we think, if New York is as good as they look, then I think it becomes very, very difficult. Like, if Florida, if Florida maintains how well they've played, you know, it just becomes a lot more difficult of a path for the Canadian team. But, I definitely could see a situation where we're talking about, like, Toronto or even Edmonton, you know, a couple weeks from now in terms of, you know, starting to heat up in the playoffs.
Neil Knuckles-Greenberg, we always appreciate the time. At NGreenberg on Twitter. Follow him and his work at the Washington Post. Neil, appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
May the force be with you, buddy. Always appreciate the having Neil Knuckles-Greenberg joining us. And he would join the Rebel Alliance, unlike you Empire scum. Actually, no, it's Rebel scum. What do they call the Empire? Bums?
The Empire.
The Empire? Jerks? Nerds? Bootlickers? I don't know. What
that they was never, Tanner's cue to play the Imperial March.
They never really had a good insult. For
they were the Empire.
Yeah, I guess it was just insult enough.
That's it.
I guess. I will say the sounds the TIE Fighters made were kind of cool. The little wee, the little. There you go. And they did have a great entrance song. I mean, that's a great entrance.
In Andor, they really isolated just one TIE Fighter, and it was just like, it was just revel how the sound of them just. Just flying across a planet.
Yeah,
like
right.
The surface was just amazing.
Yeah. Andor was great.
Great sound.
Andor was great. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely fantastic.
Yep, sure was.
I think
part two, season two is on the horizon.
I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
And the Bear, season three.
Can't wait for that. I don't know which. Probably the Bear. Probably looking more forward to the Bear. But Andor was
Yeah, no Jedis, it was really grounded as far as the show goes.
It was gritty for a Star Wars, too, exactly. Which I really liked it. Mm-hmm. Is it the best Star Wars thing they've done? Is it better than The Mandalorian?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably lean that way.
The acting, the writing, the cinematography, fantastic. Out of this world. pun intended.
The force is strong with Leibs, as always. All right, we'll take a top of the hour break. Leibs, I believe, is tagging out of here. Zachy C is tagging in. We'll take you up to 3 o'clock with the roundtable with Round Daddy. You're listening to the V Show on a Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.